Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Siva Siddhi Govarda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinashami Kunrada Kungiri Govardhana ki jai. Sri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Sri Maipur Navadit Dham ki jai, Jagannath Puri Dham ki jai, Jamuna Mai ki jai, Ganga Mai ki jai, Sri Mati Tulsi Devi ki jai, Sri Mati Bhakti Devi ki jai, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Govara Premananda Haribo, all glorious assembled devotees, all glorious assembled devotees, all glorious to the assembled devotees, all glorious to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga Jai Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 6, Text Number 30. Mukato Vartata Brahma Purushasya Kurudvaha Yas Tunmukhatvad Varnanam Mukyo Bud Brahmano Guruhu Mukato Vartata Brahma Purushasya kurudvaha Yastun mukatvad varnanam Mukyo bud brahmano guru Mukato vartata brahma Purushasya kurudvaha Yastun mukatvad varnanam Mukyo bud brahmano guruhu Mukato vartata brahma Purushasya kurudvaha Yastun mukat vad varnanam Mukyo bud brahmano guruhu Mukato Vartata Brahma Purushasya Kurudvaha Yastun Mukat Vad Varnanam Mukyo Bud Brahmano Guruhu Mukato Vartata Brahma Purushasya Kurudvaha Yastun mukkat vad vananam Mukyo bud brahmano guru Mukato bhamira bhamana Purushasya kurudvaha Yastun mukkat vad vananam Mukyo bud brahmano guru Mukato Vartata Brahma Purushasya Kurudvaha Yastu Mukat Vad Varnanam Mukya Bud Brahmano Guru Mukato Vartata Brahma Purushasya Kurudvaha Yastu mukatvad vananam Mukyo bud brahmano guruhu Vaishnavis Mukato vartata brahma Purushasya kurudvaha Yastu mukatvad vananam Mukyo bud brahmano guruhu Mukato vartata brahma Purushasya kurudvaha Yastu mukatvad vananam Mukyo Bhut Brahmano Guruhu Mukataha, from the mouth of Avartata, generated Brahma, the Vedic wisdom, Purushasya, of the Virat Purusha, the gigantic form, Kuru Udvaha, O chief of the Kuru dynasty, Yaha, who are to do to, Unmukhatvat, inclined to, Varnanam, of the orders of society, Mukyaha, the chief, Abhut, so became, Brahmana, called the Brahmanas, Guru, the recognized teacher or spiritual master. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, Sesi Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O chief of the Kuru dynasty, the Vedic wisdom became manifested from the mouth of the Virat, the gigantic form. Those who are inclined to this Vedic knowledge are called Brahmanas, and they are the natural teachers and spiritual masters of all the orders of society. Om Agyana Timiranda Shaganjana Shalaka Chakshu Amitam Jena Chasmai Sri Guru Vena Maha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Sri Advaita Gadatha Sivasri Gora Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bunch of Kalpa Trubhyasya Kripa Sendabhivata Paritana Pabhanibhya Vaishnavibhya Namonaha. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.13, the four orders of human society develop with the order of the body of the gigantic form. The bodily divisions are the mouth, arms, waist, and legs. Those who are situated on the mouth are called Brahmanas. Those who are situated on the arms are called Kshatriyas. Those who are situated on the waist are called Vaishyas. And those who are situated on the legs are called Sudras. Everyone is situated in the body of the Supreme in his gigantic Vishwarup form. In terms of the four orders, therefore, no caste is to be considered degraded because of being situated on a particular part of the body. In our own bodies, we do not show any actual difference in our treatment towards the hands or legs. Each and every part of the body is important, although the mouth is the most important of the bodily parts. If other parts are cut off from the body, a man can continue his life, but if the mouth is cut off, one cannot live. Therefore, this most important part of the body of the Lord is called the sitting place of the Brahmanas, who are inclined to the Vedic wisdom. One who is not inclined to the Vedic wisdom but to mundane affairs cannot be called a Brahmana, even if he is born of a Brahmana family or father. To have a Brahmana father does not qualify one as a Brahmana. The main qualification of a Brahmana is to be inclined to the Vedic wisdom. The Vedas are situated on the mouth of the Lord, and therefore anyone who is inclined to the Vedic wisdom is certainly situated on the mouth of the Lord, and he is a Brahmana. This inclination towards Vedic wisdom is also not restricted to any particular caste or community. Anyone from any family and from any part of the world may become inclined to the Vedic wisdom, and that will qualify him as a real Brahmana. A real Brahmana is the natural teacher or spiritual master. Unless one has Vedic knowledge, one cannot become a spiritual master. The perfect knowledge of the Vedas is to know the Lord, the personality of Godhead, and that is the end of Vedic knowledge, or Vedanta. One who is situated in the impersonal Brahman and has no information of the Supreme Personality of Godhead may become a Brahmana, but he cannot become a spiritual master. So, this is a very amazing purport. Yesterday, when I told Tariti, you know, when I'm giving class tomorrow, he said, "Wow, you got a great verse." And I said, "Really?" And so I took a look at it, and it was absolutely amazing. I'm not sure if I'm even qualified to speak on such a wonderful verse to give it any justice. But we'll make a stab at it today. It's amazing how the material world works. It's like you can become very enthusiastic and be very absorbed, but one little thing wrong, and immediately the modes of material nature can baffle us, beat on our head. I woke up this morning, I was so ecstatic. Then all of a sudden, at a certain point, I had this vertigo, and I couldn't stand up. And I was saying, "Well, what in the world? How can this be possible?" So I'm a little discombobulated, so I'm holding on to things so I don't like spin off out of here. If I start elevating on this particular seat, it's not because I have any power or anything. It's just that my head is spinning like anything. So anyway, as it is, we'll say a few words. So in this particular purport, of course, we haven't finished it. I'll finish it in a minute. But we have to think, why is the Vedic literature being presented in the first place? And Krishna answers that question by saying, because we need to know Krishna. That's why. That's why the Vedic literature is there. So all Vedic literature that's written, beginning with the four Vedas, the Vedanta Sutra, Upanishads, the Puranas, they all glorify Krishna. So by performing Vedic rituals, by knowing the philosophy of Krishna, and also surrendering and serving Krishna, these are important factors in order for us to understand what is the purpose of life. So there's different things that help us achieve that goal. And, of course, studying the Vedas is extremely important. Papa said there's three stages to understanding how to get to Krishna. And that is that we should study the Vedic literatures, and then we can understand our relationship with him. And then by the different processes, we can actually approach Krishna. We can come to Krishna. And by these activities, the end point is that we'll become a devotee, or that we'll actually be able to come to and see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is actually the goal. Like the Krishna Conscious Movement, it has all these different factors to it. We study the Vedic literature so that we can understand what is our relationship with Krishna. We're spirit soul. We're part and parcels of Krishna. And the next thing is that by the processes that we have here, we come to that realization. And those processes are like chanting Hare Krishna. It means worshiping of the deity. It means if you're a pujari, you can approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead and address him. You can cook a nice preparation for Krishna. You can approach Krishna with this offering that you want to give to Krishna. And by those simplistic activities, although they're very scientific, they may sound very simplistic, but they are very scientific in terms of attaining the goal of going back home, back to Godhead. So Krishna, he has innumerable energies, so many energies, and they're all divine. We hear that in the Bhagavad Gita, they're divine. So we're also divine in that sense because we're parcels of Krishna, so we're divine. Krishna is divine, we're divine, his energies are divine, and we're parts and parcels. So, but due to contact with the material energy, that we're experiencing today. It has a superior power. It takes away our superior power. We have a certain amount of power, but it's actually covered over and taken over by the modes of material nature. And that material modes, those material modes of nature, they're also divine. Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita, that they're divine. So we're being covered over by this divine energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But of course, it's our desire. You know, we're here because we had a certain desire. So we get covered over by this energy. Although we have superior powers, we do, as a spirit soul. We have superior powers. Unfortunately, the divine nature of this world, the three modes of material nature, are more powerful. Therefore, it's understood that we need help to get out of this material world. We need association, we need assistance, and we need all the activities that we do here in order to get out of this material world. And this is extremely important because if just for instance, most of us, if not most of us, have done yoga. You know, they have that pose called the yoke, the bow. Anybody know the bow? Yeah, you look like a bow. And you stand on, you know, you lay down on your face, like your stomach, and you bring your legs up, and you take your hands and you put your hands on your ankles here, and you hold it, and then you look like a bow. You know, so yes, and that you try to hold as long as you can handle it. Now, just consider that these modes of material natures are so powerful that they tie you up in that position. Your hands and your ankles are tied together in a hard knot, and you can't move. You're in that position. Now, this is the three modes of material nature. They wrap us up so heavy duty, we can't move. We can't think. We don't know what to do. And we need assistance. We need someone to help us. And it takes a third party. Because if you're tied up, like they say, hog-tied, you're not going to get loose. So we're actually hog-tied by the material energy. And we only can get loose if there's a third party that comes in. And that can either be Krishna or it's the Supreme or Spiritual Master. One or the other. They have to come over. They know the science, how to untie us. So the Vedic literatures describe those kind of personalities. So this is what's necessary for us because we're bound up. And there's that verse, Daivahi esha gunamayim amam mayat durayaya mam evam, which is mam eva prabhajante mayamitam tarantite. It's described that this divine nature of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, are very difficult to overcome. But one who surrenders unto me can cross over easily. This is what Krishna says. So this is the challenge, to get beyond the three modes of material nature. And this is why we have whatever we have here. Everything that we're doing here is to get beyond the modes of material nature by association, by studying the Srimad Bhagavatam, by, you know, doing service to Krishna, by actually chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. All these activities are spiritual. They're divine. If we connect with these activities and we serve Krishna, then the spiritual master will give us the intelligence of how to overcome all the different challenges that we have in the material world. And it's described that this particular person that we're talking about, they have to be a very special person. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes that individual as Brahma Bhuta Prasanatmana Sochiti Nakankshati Samasavesha Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. Yes, Param. Labhate Param. Yes. It says, one who is transcendentally situated. That's the key element. To be transcendentally situated He at once realizes the Supreme Brahman. And that's Krishna. The Supreme Brahman is Krishna. And becomes fully joyful. That person is fully joyful, happy, blissful, engaged, and very, very satisfied. So this person, he neither laments nor desires anything. And he's equally disposed to all living entities. And in such a state, that person can develop pure devotional service unto Krishna. And that's the spiritual master. That's Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Yes, this is the definition of Srila Prabhupada. And that particular person can deliver us from all these different inconsistencies of this material world. And the impersonalists, they don't go any further than the Brahma Bhuta. They're happy with just being in that energy of the Lord. They don't want to go any further. That's the end game for them. They want to just be liberated. Like we're reading about the Buddhists this morning and the Mayavadis, impersonalists. Neti, they want to get rid of everything, destroy everything. And they just want to be liberated from all this material energy. And they strive hard in order to do that. But the devotee, that's not what a devotee, that's just the beginning. For us, liberation isn't the end point. It's actually the beginning of our spiritual advancement, our spiritual life. And we see that in Krishna says, Bhakchamam abhijananti yavan yasasmi tatvataha. Yes, by devotional service. Only by devotional service is Krishna understood. And when one is in full consciousness of Krishna, by that such devotion, one can actually enter into the kingdom of God. And that's what Krishna consciousness is about. It's about getting to the kingdom of God, coming to Krishna. And this is the whole aspect of what we do. So this takes a certain course of intelligence, Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam. Vijnanam means scientific. It's very scientific to understand the Supreme Lord. So the things that we are engaged in here in the temple is scientific. Sometimes people that don't have that understanding think this is pretty mundane. You know, to get up early in the morning, to come to the temple, to chant Hare Krishna, to serve Krishna. That to them sounds like, well, this is crazy. And what are you doing all this for? It doesn't help them understand because they're under the modes of material nature, basically. So for us, perfect knowledge is acquired from the perfect person. And that perfect person is a spiritual master. And the reason that person's a perfect person is because he follows the instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is what we need in order to come to that position of freedom from the modes of material nature. So when I was reading this, reading about who is a real Brahmana or the teacher or the spiritual master, it's very important to understand that the spiritual master is a great Vaishnava devotee of the Lord, a great devotee. And by that principle, that individual is capable of giving us Krishna. What's that? Sarvasya chaham riti sannivisto matasmitya jnanam apohanam cham vedaisa savar aham eva vijo vedanta krit veda vede vichaham. That Krishna is in the heart. He gives us intelligence. He gives us forgetfulness. But he also says that by all the Vedas I am to be known. I am the compiler of the Vedanta. And I am the knower of the Vedas. So this is extremely important in terms of our advancement in spiritual life, that we need to understand Krishna through the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the association of a pure devotee, a self-realized soul, a person who's completely dedicated to serving Krishna. In that way, we can actually become Krishna conscious, and we ourselves can come to the platform of becoming pure devotees. And that's the goal. That's the ultimate goal, to become a pure devotee of Krishna. That's why we're here. And we need to function in that capacity. In other words, if we're here in this Krishna conscious movement, we need to act like a Krishna conscious devotee. That's important. And the different processes that we involve ourselves in, they're meant for our liberation, to get us out of this material world. They're not just to do like a formality, but they're meant to help us become freed from the modes of material nature, which are constantly beating on all of us, you know. And because the material body is a product of this material energy, it gets whipped around by it. So we as devotees, we have to become transcendental. That's very important, become transcendental. Okay, so we'll finish up the purport. It is said in the Padma Purana, Satkarma Nipuno Vipro, Mantra Tantra Visharadaha, Avaishnava Guror Nasyad, Vaishnavasva Pacho Guruhu. An impersonalist can become a qualified, Brahmana, but he cannot become a spiritual master unless and until he is promoted to the stage of a Vaishnava, or a devotee of the personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya, the great authority of Vedic wisdom in the modern age, stated, Kiba vipra kiba niyasi sudra kene naya ye Krishna tattva veta si guru hoya. A person may be a brahmana or a sudra or a sannyasi, but if he happens to be well versed in the science of Krishna, then he is fit to become a spiritual master. Chaitanya Charitamrita Majjha 8:128. The qualification then of a spiritual master is not to be a qualified brahmana, but to be well versed in the science of Krishna. One who is conversant with Vedic wisdom is a brahmana, and only a brahmana who is a pure Vaishnava and knows all the intricacies of the science of Krishna can become a spiritual master. Jai Srila Prabhupada. So in this context, it's described that in this age, Kalo Sudra Sambhava, in this Kali Yuga age, everyone is a Sudra. But by the process of reformation, by the reformatory process or method, one can become twice born to become a Brahmana. So this knowledge of Krishna consciousness, how to acquire it, we understand that in Krishna consciousness, there's a couple of items. We need to tapasya, and shrutasya. Tapasya means performing austerity and sacrifice. These are important ingredients in order to become purified. And shrutasya means to hear. So the whole process or the science of Krishna consciousness is to perform austerities and to hear the Vedic literatures and hear from the great souls. So if we don't perform this tapasya, of course, in Krishna consciousness, what kind of tapasya is there? You have prasadam and, you have the holy name. You have good association. And these things in themselves are powerful to purify all of us. So although it's tapasya, it's not really that difficult. But it is in one sense. So we see that if we want to get credit from Krishna and we don't want to perform tapasya, that's not going to work. That's bogus. If we want to know Krishna, we have to perform tapasya. And if you want to know Krishna, you have to actually hear. You hear. And if you truly hear, then you truly want to perform tapasya. So they come together. They can't be separate. You can't just perform tapasya. You just become an impersonalist. But if you perform tapasya and you hear the science of Krishna consciousness, then you become a Vaishnava. Then you actually become a real devotee of the Lord. So they go simultaneously. But they must be there. If you just want to hear, but you don't want to do any tapasya, you're still not getting the full benefit You can hear, sometimes people can hear so many wonderful things, but then they just go out and do nonsense anyway. So what is that? Or some people do tapasya, but they don't want to hear. You can tell them so many things, but they say, no, I'm okay. Thank you, I know everything, and I'm okay. You're okay, I'm okay. So this is the danger. So in Krishna consciousness, we have to have both of those. They must click together. This tapasya must be performed. Found the regulative principles, chanting Hare Krishna, eating only Krishna prasadam, living in a holy place. These are important factors that are there to help us come to that next level in Krishna consciousness. It helps us. So these things are very important. And if we don't perform them properly, then there's a problem. And then Krishna says, Man mana bhavamad bhakto majjimam namaskuru. Krishna himself says, always think of me. You know, become my devotee. Worship me. Offer homage unto me. And you'll come to me. And then Krishna says, I promise you this because you're my devotee. So Krishna promises. It's not that it's some foregone thing. He promises to you, to me, to everybody, that if you actually perform this activity and you worship Krishna and you serve him and you think of him, you bow down to him every day, not once in a while, but every day. This is what Krishna wants. Every day you bow down to him. And if we do that, then Krishna says, I promise I'll protect you because you're my devotee. So this is very important. And also Krishna says, Sarva dharmam parityajam mam ekam saranam bhajam. You have to surrender. Krishna wants it. It's the law. Krishna's putting down the law. This is the law of land. You have to surrender to me. But Krishna says, if you surrender to me, then you'll come to me and you'll be my devotee. That's we have to understand that point. It's very, very simple. And from that point, we actually make a lot of progress. There's a story that I was remembering. Gautama Muni. Yeah, Gautama Muni. He was a great Muni. So one time a person came up to Gautama Muni to take initiation. He wanted to take initiation from him. And Gautama Muni said, well, before that, I want to know who's your father. He said, I don't know my father. Well, then go ask your mother. Oh, sorry. So he says, go to your mother and ask your mother who your father is. So he says, okay. So he went to his mother and he said, my dear mother, who's my father? And his mother said, my dear son, I don't know. I'm a maidservant. I've had so many men that I was with, and I don't know who your father is. So I'm sorry. So this person, this aspiring disciple of Gautama Muni, went to Gautama Muni and he asked him, well, what did your mother tell you? And he said, my dear sir, my mother told me she doesn't know who my father is because she's had so many men in her life. She's a maidservant, so she doesn't know who my father is. And then Gautama Muni said, yes, I'll initiate you. And why? Because he was so honest. Because he was so truthful, Gautama Muni immediately said, you're my disciple. Now, that's a lesson for all of us in the stage of Kali Yuga. You know, we have our past, our who we come from. It's not anything to speak about. It's nothing to write a book about. We come from very unqualified situations. So, for us, it's extremely important to become truthful, to be truthful in our life, in our activities that we do in Krishna consciousness. And if we're truthful, then we can become a real Brahmana. And then from that, you become a Vaishnava. So this is what's important, to be very truthful in our execution of Krishna consciousness, being true to the Guru. Being truthful to the Guru. And if that's the only qualification you have, you're in good situation. You're in a good spot. You're at least a Brahmana. And if you associate with Krishna through the process of tapasya and hearing about Krishna, one will become a Vaishnava. And if you become a Vaishnava, that means you're a devotee of the Lord. And then Krishna says that if you pay homage to me, you bow down to me, you serve me, he says, I promise you'll come to me. And this is Krishna's promise to us all. And we see that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what is that verse? Amara agaya guru haya tara e desha ye dake kaha upadesh. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that instruct everyone you meet on the science of Krishna consciousness through what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then by that activity, become a spiritual master. My God, you can become a spiritual master just by following this simplistic rule that whoever you meet, whoever you speak to, you speak about the Gita and you speak about the Srimad Bhagavatam, and then you'll become a qualified spiritual master. And that's Krishna consciousness. So a Vaishnava is one who dedicates their life for the benefit of all living entities. That's a Vaishnava. That's what we're trying to learn in Krishna consciousness. How we're here for the benefit of everyone, not just ourselves, but for everyone. That's the science of Krishna consciousness. This is what it's actually about. And the Krishna consciousness movement means to become a Vaishnava and be caring about the suffering of humanity. That's Srila Prabhupada. He cared about the suffering of humanity. And this is a real Vaishnava. And this is, should be our goal, to be a Vaishnava and care about the fallen conditioned souls. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that this can be done by chanting nicely, Tanara Pisuniche Nataro Pisushna Amani Namanadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. That if we simply chant in the humble state of mind, yes, thinking ourselves to be like lower than the straw in the street, devoid of all sense of false prestige, be more tolerant than a tree. These things aren't just words. These are actual activities that we should perform. And that way we can become qualified spiritual masters ourselves. If that's your goal, that's what you want to do. And that's the process. That's the science of Krishna consciousness. All right. Krishna doesn't care where you come from, Sarva Yoni Ishu. He says he's the, you know, he's everything comes from him. You know? Everything comes from Krishna. You know, so that's important to understand. So we shouldn't discriminate. It's not like we discriminate this or that or anything. Everything is Sarva Yoni Ishu. It's there by Krishna. And what's that? Aham Bija Prata Pita. Yeah. That he's a seed-giving father. This is Krishna. He's a seed-giving father of all living entities. So we shouldn't discriminate. We should just simply give everybody Krishna consciousness. Okay, if I made any sense today, thank you. But I was very discombobulated, I'm sorry. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.